line A, trying to go back for Connor, intercepted, back the other way on a two-on-one. Watson going to where the net is, Sissons. Watson walks in, shoots and scores. Short-handed goal for Nashville, and it's 2-0. Good chance for Ehlers, back the other way, but a stick save made by Rene. Here come the Nashville Predators on a cut shot. They score. Victor Arvidsson on another odd man rush inside the Winnipeg end. Two shorties, and it's 3-0 Nashville.
And with those two shorthanded goals, the Nashville Predators took command of last night's contest between the Jets and the Predators, finishing off with a 3-1 victory in Music City, USA. The Winnipeg Jets, a depleted team last night, and it showed in that first 10 minutes. They weren't able to battle back, played better after that, but weren't able to battle back to get any points in that contest. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening at tsn1290.ca, we welcome you to NHL This Week with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, an abbreviated show for you this evening as we have Manitoba Moose Hockey coming up at 7:15 with the pregame show with Mitch Peacock and Puck Drop coming up at 7:30. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and Sean Asor, to whom we wish a belated happy birthday there, Shawnee. Oh, turning the big 3-3, is that what I understand?
Big buff birthday, yeah. It's I feel old.
You feel old. Well, welcome to the feeling that the rest of us have, as both Ezzy and I are older than you are, and I can assure you that you only will feel older as you go.
Well, Drew, you're much, much older. I mean, you're an octogenarian, so...
Big word. Big word. Drop an octogenarian on me early on in the show. I'm not sure I'm prepared for that.
It's good to have you back. How was the sunshine? Mm-hmm.
The sunshine was lovely. Had a very nice time with the family down in a little bit of SoCal, that sort of thing. Enjoying some nice weather down in San Diego, and got to experience some of the sights and sounds of the big city. But we had a very nice time, and glad to be back here with you boys. Kicking it into high gear for the stretch drive for the Winnipeg Jets. They finished the six-game road trip, the longest road trip of the season, of course, with a 3-2-1 record. So, you know, let's talk about last night's game specifically and then the road trip in general. You know, where the Jets stand right now in the standings, more than likely, almost guaranteed to finish second place. I think sort of 3-2-1, you're fine with that. At least I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're 8 points back of the Nashville Predators right now, Drew, so I would agree with that. Unless something really unforeseen happens, the Jets are locked into that two seed. Right now, they would play the Minnesota Wild if the playoffs started today, but they're definitely going to play a team in their own division. They're going to play Minnesota, Dallas, the way Colorado is playing right now. There might be a better chance it's Colorado than Minnesota, especially, Sean, the way the Avalanche have handled the Wild this year. They picked up another win over the Wild yesterday.
Big
but,
win.
You know, overall, I thought the road trip was very solid. And, you know, you really like that you got a point in that Washington game. Obviously, the way Connor Hellebuck played in that extra period, you would have liked to see the Jets get the extra point. Mm-hmm. But 3-2-1, considering how many injured players the Jets have right now, Sean, I think is a pretty good record. I think they easily could have picked up four wins on this road trip. But yesterday's game, guys, for me, was over in the first period. And, you know, I like the way the Jets played in the second period and the third period. And, you know, Connor Hellebuck makes 30 saves coming in for Michael Hutchinson, and he gives the Jets an opportunity to win. But against a team like the Nashville Predators, who have played really well against the Jets this year, I mean, you just can't give up that many goals in that quick period of time, right? And at one point, I think the shots were 15-0 for the Nashville Predators. It might have been 16-0. I forget what it was. It was such a crazy period. But, I mean, for me, the Jets were just lackadaisical. They were just missing assignments. You know, Tyler Myers coughs up the puck in his own zone. And I'm not blaming Tyler Myers, obviously, but... You know, the Jets give up those two shorties on the same power play, Sean, and you're just not used to seeing that. So, I mean, overall, I mean, you like the effort from the Jets in the second and third periods, but in that first period, I mean, sure, they might have been tired, but I thought that that game was won by the Preds in that first period.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it was a real, real big challenge for the Jets going into last night's game. You mentioned the injuries, 8 regulars out of the lineup now, compounded with Paul Stastny leaving in the warm-up. So instantly, you're in scramble mode with regards to the lines and who's trying to play with who, and now we're going to try to figure out where guys are going schematically. The power play looked a little disoriented. That wasn't that surprising based on the lineup switches. But you talked about it, Ezzy. First off, What more can we say about Connor Hellebuyck?
70 saves.
Over the last two games...
In two games, 70
he
saves.
He has been unbelievable. He got thrown into the fire yesterday following that whole exchange with Michael Hutchinson following the timeout, which I want to get your guys' perspectives on. And now Michael Hutchinson is injured with an upper body injury, but...
Well, let me stop you right there. I mean, I saw the conspiracy theorists out in full force and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hutchinson is not sabotaging the Winnipeg Jets. I just want to put that.
Oh, no.
Make that sure. Make sure that everybody who's, you know, who believes that, you know,
is that a thing? Like, do people believe that
he... Yeah, people think that he was upset with the team's performance in front of him.
Himself?
So he pulled himself out of the game. I mean, that's utterly crazy because this isn't professional wrestling.
This is also a guy who's playing for a job next year.
Guys don't turn heel in the middle of a game and, you know, because they're upset with what's happening in front of them. Michael Hutchinson obviously felt as if he could not continue to be the goaltender of record for the Winnipeg Jets last night due to injury. So he informed the team of such, and as a result, he left the game.
Paul Maurice addressed the media about this yesterday, and there's no reason not to believe Paul Maurice. He said that Michael Hutchinson told the Jets trainer, and then the Jets trainer told assistant coach Jamie Compan that he wasn't feeling right. I mean, that's the direct quote from Paul Maurice. Hutchinson was injured, and that's why he came out of the game. Now, it's going to be really unfortunate for the Jets if Michael Hutchinson is going to be out for an extended period of time, because we know that Steve Mason is going to be out for a couple of weeks here, Drew, and it's really unfortunate.
Eric Comrie recalled, of course, today.
Yeah, right, and that's why I thought it was, you know, plausible when Huss and Rick were talking about it on the afternoon ride before we came on that there was a chance that Eric Comrie could actually start for the Jets tomorrow, considering how much rubber Connor Hellebuyck has faced. Now, I'm pretty sure Hellebuyck is going to start tomorrow for the Jets against the Hawks, but there always was the chance, or is the chance, that the Jets decide to go with Eric Comrie in net because Hellebuyck has played so much. But it's just really unfortunate for both Steve Mason and Michael Hutchinson that they're injured again.
It's bananas how many injuries this roster is dealing with right now.
Well, it certainly is concerning, and if you're the Winnipeg Jets, I think you really, you know, over the final, you know, stretch here, I think you wanted to give Connor Hellebuyck some time off.
Absolutely.
Because he's played a lot of hockey, and, you know, you're going to have to use Eric Comrie, or depending on how long Michael Hutchinson's out of the lineup for. You're going to have to use Eric Comrie because you can't have Connor Hellebuyck, even if he's playing well, and he certainly is playing well as of late, you can't have him go into the playoffs without having some amount of rest. I mean,
no, he's not going to play all six games on this homestand. I would imagine he's going to play at the very least four of these games, maybe five, but I would expect, you know, the Jets to use someone else in net, whether that's Eric Comrie or Michael Hutchinson. Michael Hutchinson, Drew, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The good news, though, we should mention for the Jets is that there always is the chance that Adam Lowry comes back into the lineup tomorrow night versus Chicago, and if not, there's a good chance that he comes back on Sunday against Dallas. So the Jets are getting some bodies back into the lineup. Jacob Trouba's probably, you know, within a week coming back, so they are going to get some bodies back. To me, a bigger concern is Paul Stastny, because if Mark Scheifele's going to miss the next three, four, five games, and Paul Stastny's also not going to be in the lineup, I mean, that really depletes you up the middle.
It certainly depletes you up the middle, but, I mean, if I'm the Winnipeg Jets, I'm doing everything in my power. I'm taking every precaution.
And
if somebody feels the least bit out of sorts, they're not playing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's no reason to. You're pretty much locked into second place. I mean, you have the Minnesota Wild who are behind you, but it's not like the Minnesota Wild are playing great hockey or anything, or, you know, they lost last night handily to the Colorado Avalanche.
At home, a big one. For
Drew, you are locked. I agree. The Jets are, there's a really good chance the Jets will finish second, but I don't think you want a three-game losing streak to turn into a five- or six-game losing streak, and I'm not saying that the Jets should rush anybody back. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you would prefer to have Paul Stastny in the lineup with Mark Scheifele out. The timing just isn't good because we don't know when Scheifele's coming back.
Obviously,
we just don't know.
You'd rather be healthy than not healthy. No question about that. But if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you're just... I mean, I think if that was a playoff game last night, Paul Stastny probably finds a way to play in game. Whereas, you know, once he feels a little stiffness there, he's saying,
Maurice,
it looked like a groin to me, Sean.
Yeah, Maurice said he tightened up throughout the day, couldn't get loose, and they decided to pull him, which only furthers your point, Drew, about
missed two games, not 12 games.
The cautious approach right now. The Jets are in they're in uncharted territory right now in the sense that they have secured themselves a postseason spot mid-March, mm-hmm. essentially. They're not fighting every tooth and nail, sure. every
the
single
last
game.
Time they made the playoffs came right down to the second last game
exactly,
of the season.
Exactly, or some of the years where they didn't make it. You know, they have the luxury right now of resting some of these guys. New clock, look.
Yeah, just take a look at the new clock that's up here so I see where we are.
You're getting distracted, Drew.
Resting some of these guys, it's a luxury that they're going to take full advantage of right now.
Hold on. What about the, you know, Sean Matthias? Oh. Hasn't played since early January, doesn't take the pregame skate, yeah. and then he ends up playing in the game.
Well, I mean, it's just a function of the injury concerns that the Jets are going through. And, I mean, it's nice that they have a guy who's a professional mm-hmm. and who's an NHL-quality player in Sean Matthias that they can drop into the lineup. Obviously not an ideal situation.
Right, and I just thought it was funny, Drew, because none of us had any idea that he was going to play last night.
All of a sudden, Paul Stastny is a scratch and Sean Matthias is in the lineup and you're like, oh, well, it's a good thing they activated him off IR prior to the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what I took away from yesterday's game, sure, the Nashville Predators were the better of the two teams and they, you know, deserved the 3-1 victory. You can feel the animosity mm-hmm. and the dislike that these two teams have for each other.
Well, the road to the Stanley Cup for the Jets goes through Nashville.
And Nashville knows or expects that they're going to play the Jets
right.
in the second round. So these two teams, I mean, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, as the old saying goes, and there certainly is no shortage of contempt. And had the game got any more out of hand last night, 4-0, 5-0, I think you could have seen a parade to the penalty box. It didn't.
But, yeah, well, you saw like Nikolaj Ehlers and PK Subban getting into it towards the end of the game, but it's not like you had, you know, three or four fights in that game. But you're right,
well,
Drew. That game had a playoff feel.
I tweeted the picture of the that game. I guess was last season where the Jets ended
the
up with
box.
What, seven or eight guys in the penalty box at the same time.
Classic.
And you sort of got the impression that had last night got any more out of hand, both these teams would have been trying to settle a score or maybe prove a point to their opposition. It didn't get to that point.
It kind of looked like it was going that way.
Yeah, when
once
it
hit 3-0, and then it kind of dispersed as the first period.
Well, the Jets started to play better hockey.
Well, that's the thing. Everything kind of settled. And Blake Wheeler talked about it. He said, we do this to teams in our building a lot, especially on a second night of a back-to-back when they know that they'll be tired and the legs will take a little bit of time to get going mm-hmm. and they jump on teams. And that's what happened to the Jets. They got jumped on by the Predators and it took them a little while to sort themselves out, and then that whole schmozzle with the power play and
Look, that's just what good teams do.
Absolutely.
Good teams take advantage of a weakened opponent, and you have seen the Jets do that. I mean, the game against – the one that jumps to mind most recently, the game against Florida, where the Jets, I think the final score ended up being 7-2, if I recall correctly. Florida had played the night before, either mm-hmm. in Calgary or Edmonton, flew in late. You know, the Jets – it was a close game, and then the Jets took advantage of that. And so that's just what good teams do. They take advantage of a weakened opponent. The Jets certainly qualified as a weakened opponent last night. Do I think that this is going to be necessarily a harbinger of terrible things to come for the Jets? I don't. I think right now the priority for the Winnipeg Jets, even as they approach the six-game homestand, is let's get our guys healthy. Let's try and get as much rest as we can, because we know that, you know, the games really matter again starting that second week of April.
Right, and overall, I mean, this road trip was a success. I think you would all agree that the Jets easily could have came home with four of six wins.
Sure.
They win the first three games on the road trip. I thought the game against the Rangers was probably the most impressive game early on in that road trip. The game against Philadelphia, I would probably say, was the worst game for the Jets. The worst period was clearly last night's first period against Nashville. But overall, I mean, you could have come home with 2 points mm-hmm. against the Washington Capitals mm-hmm. in a game in which Connor Hellebuck was sensational. So, I mean, overall, I mean, you're really happy to get points in four of six games.
3-2-1 is fine. Because
with the roster, I think it's more than fine.
Because you've won so many games previously in the season.
The Jets can go .500.
And they're fine.
Mm-hmm. For the rest of the season, and they will still finish second in the Central and get home ice advantage.
When we come back, we talk about the Jets' six-game homestand. It starts tomorrow night against the Chicago Blackhawks. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast,
on TSN 1290.ca.
Wednesday evening, You're listening to NHL This Week. Drew Mandel, Sean Assore, Ezra Ginsberg with you. An abbreviated edition, a quick version. Just get, you know, as much illegal curve into your veins as you can handle over the next 75 minutes.
Have we ever done a 75-minute show?
We once did a 60-minute show because I don't remember exactly what the reason was.
Probably a Moose game.
So, no, we haven't.
It was either a Moose game or, like, we were on a Monday night for some reason, and maybe Monday Night Football followed us. So, it has happened before, yes. But tonight, 75 minutes, we'll get you ready for the Moose at 7:30. Mitch Peacock with the pregame show, pardon me.
Jamie Phillips is going to be in net.
Well, of course, the Moose don't have any other goaltenders. They're all up with the Winnipeg Jets.
Colton Finney recalled.
Well, there you go. Moose insider Ezra Ginsberg, move over Dave Minuk.
I don't know. Dave M is the Moose insider.
Oh, don't say it.
We're still good? Yeah, okay. A little bit of a power surge there. I'm not sure what that was. I think we hit a button or something.
Is his phone charger short out again?
Ezzy's got a battery charger for his phone.
I don't know what is happening
here
with my laptop cord, but it was sparking earlier. That's and I'm a little good, bit freaked out.
Yeah, that's a good sign you need a new laptop cord. Yes. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not a tech guy, but if your computer is shooting sparks, stop using it.
I'll call the Geek Squad.
Yeah, they'll say, stop using the computer. Your house is on fire as a result. Jets start a 6-game homestand, of course, tomorrow night against the Chicago Blackhawks. And it's certainly not an easy homestand in terms of the opponents who are coming to town. The Blackhawks are the only team that is out of the playoff race of the 6 teams that are going to be visiting Bell MTS Center. You know, again, I think for the Jets, similar to how the road trip just finished, you're looking for average. You're okay with average. You don't want to lose 6 games in a row, of course, because, I mean, obvious reasons. I don't think I need to go any further into that. But if you're the Jets, you're looking to just keep everybody healthy as much as possible. You're looking to probably roll 4 lines as much as possible. The wins aren't critical. They're not crucial because you've accomplished so much so far this season.
I think what you're looking for is more secondary scoring.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think, precisely, you know, you're looking for more secondary scoring from some guys that you've, you know, looked for to score in years past. Guys like Brian Little have been struggling big time. I mean, Brian
Perreault.
Little does not have many goals over the last couple of months, guys. And, you know, Patrick Laine is basically scoring 50% of the Jets' goals over the last couple of weeks. So you're looking for more out of your second line and your third line. And, well, not the second line, because the second line has been the Stastny line. But you're looking for more offense from other guys aside from Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers. I mean, Laine and Ehlers, let's be honest, I mean, they were fantastic on that 6-game road trip. Oh, but you're looking for guys like Matty Perreault to pop a goal in. And Matty Perreault, I actually thought, had a really good game yesterday. He was getting in on the forecheck, and he was mucking it up, and he had some scoring chances. But, you know, guys like Matty Perreault, Brian Little,
Jack Roslovic,
another player who I thought had a good game yesterday. But, I mean, Laine can't score every goal for you.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said there, Ezzy. They do need...
Or maybe he can. I don't know.
Be fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be trying to do so. But you definitely need to get that, you know, those goal-scoring vibes that the team was feeling where three... I know this is a function of injuries. I don't think this is a function
Absolutely.
Of anything more problematic than that. But you need to get guys back feeling good about themselves, back feeling as though they can contribute in the offensive side of things. Because if Patrick Laine, to your point, Ezzy, if he wasn't unconscious on this last road trip, by which, you know, touch of gold, he had the Midas touch, everything went in. If he didn't have that, then this road trip probably would have been a lot worse off than 3-2-1.
Yeah, absolutely. And the goal scoring streak snapped yesterday.
Point streak continues, got
Point
the
streak
assist.
Continues, got the assist. He was probably 3 inches from that streak being kept alive. Was it Austin Watson who sweeps the puck off the goal line
right
there?
Right over the boards.
Yeah, gets the delay of game penalty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, first of all, can we just talk about this for a second? Did you guys see when Laine and Pekkarinen were face-to-face? You think they were talking Finnish?
I think they were talking Finnish, but I don't know Finnish, but I'm pretty sure that if it was translated for me, we wouldn't be able to say it on air necessarily.
I was really curious to know what was being said there.
I love that.
You know, like, you really want to score a goal, huh?
I'm going to beat you.
But you know what's happening is the games are getting more intense. I mean, you can just see it. You can feel it. The games are getting more intense, even for two teams that, I mean, relatively don't have anything to play for. The games are intense because, you know, the Jets and the Predators, I mean, that's why they play again coming up on this homestand. Nashville's in town on this homestand. I think they're the final game of the homestand, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be another one of those, the Jets, you know, don't need to win the game. It's not a must-win game by any stretch.
It's not a must-win game, Drew, but they want to win this game. They want to get this thing going in the right direction.
Also, haven't beat the Blackhawks this year yet, so they need to get, from a moral standpoint, you know, beat the team that has been such a big rivalry over the years.
Exactly. You just want to, especially when you're playing Nashville, mm-hmm. you want to prove a point mm-hmm. that, yeah, you beat us in your barn, and yeah, you beat us in our barn in that fantastic 6-5 game from a few weeks ago, but, you know, we're going to also beat you. Like, this isn't, you don't have our number. That this is going to be a knock 'em out, drag 'em out playoff series. And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but assuming it happens, that's, you know, the Jets need to have that good feeling going into it.
And Drew, the Blackhawks are playing some pretty good hockey. They had that back-to-back against the Boston Bruins. They got smoked in the first game, which was in Boston, but the game in Chicago, they won 3-1. The Hawks have actually won 3 of their last 5 games, so the Blackhawks are obviously not making the playoffs.
No.
I mean, let's be clear here. I mean, Chicago is not going to the playoffs this year,
yeah.
but they're playing some pretty determined hockey, so you're not going to be facing a Blackhawks team that is just going to kind of lay down and die for you.
They came into Winnipeg, what was it, maybe a month ago on that Friday night, and defeated the Jets. And Sean, to your point, the Jets haven't defeated the Blackhawks yet this year. Anton Forsberg is going to get the start and goal mm-hmm. for Chicago. So you know that, you know, the Blackhawks, who certainly are just playing out the string, but you know that they're not going to your point, Ezzy, they're not just going to roll over. They're a little pissed off that the Jets, because
yes.
the Jets are
absolutely.
Where the Blackhawks
yeah.
expect to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and you said it best. I mean, you said the word spoiler. And that's what the Hawks want to be. They want to come into Winnipeg, and they want to play the role of spoiler. I mean, we know that the Jets have been very successful against the Hawks in previous years, obviously not this year. So, I mean, Chicago is playing for something. If you want to call it pride, if you want to, you know, play the role of spoiler, if you want to call it that, whatever. So it's definitely not a must-win, because we know that the Jets are one of the best teams in the West, one of the best teams in the Central. They're going to the playoffs, but... You know, they've lost some points here, and Minnesota obviously has not taken advantage of it, mm-hmm. Sean. But, you know, this is an important game, and I think it's important as well because you have all of these bodies out of the lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Adam Lowry might come back, but you're still without Scheifele. You're still without Trouba. I mean, Paul Stastny might not play tomorrow. You've got a couple of goaltenders that are out of the lineup, so I think the Jets do have to prove something here.
Guys like Adam Lowry and Marco Dano are... You know, they need the opportunity to prove something to get a contract for next year and for mm-hmm. going forward. And so they've both been out of the lineup for a significant length of time. They both have had, you know, awful years. I mean, Mathias, of course, did I say Lowry? I meant Mathias.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Mathias has been injured for a lot of the year. Marco Dano has been a healthy scratch for a lot of the year. This is an opportunity for them to prove that if something is to happen in the playoffs, and if regulars are going to go down, and we're going to be the black aces, and they know they're going to be the black aces, we're not going to be a liability for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to be able to contribute if and when we get the opportunity.
Yeah, it is a good point. And, you know, Marco Dano would most likely not be in the lineup if the Jets were completely healthy. No, he wouldn't be in the lineup
if the Jets were completely healthy.
Yeah. And same thing goes for Sean Mathias. I mean, you're right, Drew. You use the term black aces, and, you know, these guys are the 13th, 14th forward. You know, when the playoffs come around, I mean, there's a good chance that these guys won't play. So, you know, they have an opportunity here to play on, you know, whether it's the third line or the fourth line. And now you have players that are, you know, going to move to center. So Andrew Kopp's going to play center. And I think Andrew Kopp, you know, I keep saying this, but to me, he's one of the more underrated players around the league. To me, he's one of those players that, you know, you keep on your team and he can play on whatever line you really need to play him on, whether it's the second line, third line, fourth line. You know, he was between Ehlers and Line A, and
mm-hmm.
I thought he was really good against the Nashville Predators. He obviously didn't factor in on the score, but, mm-hmm. You know, the Jets, I think, will be fine. But, you know, it goes back to what I said in the first segment, guys. You know, if Paul Stastny is out for any extended period of time, and Mark Scheifele is also going to be out for an extended period of time, and we don't know. I mean, Stastny could come back as early as, you know, tomorrow or Sunday against Dallas, but I don't think that you want these guys to be out of the lineup for too long. You don't want them just coming back into the lineup, the last game of the season or the second mm-hmm. last game of the season.
You probably want them getting, you know, we saw when Scheifele came back from the previous injury where he was out for weeks at a time. It took him 2 or 3 games to get that timing back.
Right.
And, you know, if you're injured until the end of the regular season and you're trying to get that timing back in the first 2 or 3 games of your first round playoff series, well, that's not ideal. Now, there's no indication from anybody that those injuries, the Scheifele injury or the Stastny injury, are anything other than really day-to-day situations. You'd expect them back long before the regular season ends, but you definitely want them back. You know, I'm sure you're going to try and give them time to sit and you know, maybe get a game off here or a game off there.
Right.
But you definitely want them to not feel rusty.
Oh, yeah.
When the playoffs start.
That's why I think your best bet is that both Scheifele and Stastny come back into the lineup towards the end of the six-game homestand. That's what it kind of looks like is going to happen. But right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. The Jets didn't practice today, as you know, Drew. So, you know, we're going to find out more from Paul Maurice. But, you know, right now, it's a really unfortunate situation for the Jets. But the good news is they do have some time here to heal up before the playoffs.
Yeah, and Sean, I'll let you get in here real quick.
I was just going to
go ahead.
Just going to say real quickly, also, just looking past the Blackhawks on this six-game homestand, you're playing some teams that are fighting for their playoff lives as well. You got Dallas, LA, Anaheim, and then the Predators again, then Boston, who are no slouch out of East. But
the Boston and Nashville games are more just games against teams that are clear playoff teams. But
those three right off the following Chicago, like those are dogfights.
Yeah, Dallas is currently holding down.
Yeah, survive that. With regards to not gaining any more injuries, and then
health is number one concern.
Absolutely,
Dallas currently holds down the second wild card spot. They're tied, of course, with the Colorado Avalanche, who have the first wild card spot by virtue of more regulation and overtime wins. The LA Kings, they're in the third place in the Pacific Division, also battling for that wild card spot and trying to hold off both the Anaheim Ducks and the Calgary Flames in the Pacific Division playoff race. It's a real entertaining race. Towards the bottom for that third spot in the Pacific Division and the wild card spots. Every night it changes who's in the playoff spot and who's not. It's an interesting race still there, and the St. Louis Blues are coming back quickly.
I was just going to say that, Drew. Don't look now, but the Blues are not out of this.
They've won two in a row, and so if the Blues can get on a hot streak, and they can because they do have that talent, the Blues, I'll tell you what, if the Blues sneak in as a wild card team, nobody wants to play that Blues team in the playoffs with that defense. Certainly not the Winnipeg Jets. Wouldn't probably be a problem for the Jets. It would be a problem more likely for the Nashville Predators. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Paul Skrbina of the Chicago Tribune. He joins us to talk about the Blackhawks, the Jets' opponent tomorrow night. You're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, Wednesday evening. You're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN 1290. Drew Mindell, Sean Assor, the birthday boy, Ezra Ginsberg. We're all in studio with you until 7:15 tonight, which will turn the mic over to Mitch Peacock for Manitoba Moose Hockey Puck Drop, 7:30, bottom of the hour, coming up in about 1 hour's time for the Moose game.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Chicago Tribune, we're pleased to welcome to the program Paul Skrbina. He covers the Chicago Blackhawks. Paul, good evening, and thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, no problem. How you doing?
Doing very well, Paul. How about yourself?
Can't complain.
That's good. Nobody listens to complaints on this show anyways. Otherwise, we'd be doing a lot more of it.
We complain all the time.
Yeah, nobody ever does anything about it, so why should our guests get anything better than what we get? Paul obviously brought you on to talk about the Blackhawks. They're going to visit Winnipeg tomorrow in a bit of a different role reversal. Oftentimes, this time of the year, the Jets are looking to play spoiler, and the Blackhawks are in a playoff position. It's a reverse of that, obviously. You know, how is the Chicago Blackhawks team, which is so used to being a playoff team and having lengthy Stanley Cup runs, handling the role reversal in playing the spoiler?
You know, I think it's hard to say that, you know, they put on the face of a team that's, you know, trying to win every game and finally have embraced and admitted that they are in that role, which I guess is an accomplishment, because it took for a long time, even when they were pretty much out of it, they never want to admit that. So I think they're accepting it as best they can, but certainly don't like it, and obviously a lot of factors have gone into this, them being in this position. But I would say they've handled it pretty well so far.
Paul, not too long ago, the Chicago Blackhawks re-signed defenseman Erik Gustafsson to a two-year deal. They also signed Jan Ruda to a two-year deal. Gustafsson's actually got a goal and four assists for 5 points over the last two games. In your opinion, has he been one of the biggest bright spots for the Chicago team this year?
Yeah, I mean, he has been, although that bar has been pretty low, obviously, with the season that they've had. I don't think that either one of those guys, I was kind of surprised at the amount of money that was thrown their way based on the fact that, you know, they don't, that's their biggest, probably one of their biggest needs for next season is finding, you know, a top, you know, top six defenseman, top four defenseman, actually. Since Gustafson signed the deal, he's played well, but, you know, of course, that's a small sample size. And I actually asked him if he wishes he could sign a contract every day because, you know, then he could play like this all the time and kind of laugh. But they're going to need a lot more than those two guys next year because they don't see Seabrook going back to what he used to be. And, you know, Duncan Keith this year has had by Duncan Keith standards, a pretty horrible season. Still a great defenseman, but, you know, in terms of relatively speaking to past years, I mean, it's been a pretty bad year for him too.
Paul, I saw that Joel Quenneville was saying he's less optimistic about the return of Corey Crawford for the season. Does it make any sense for the goaltender to push for a return this year? Or should he just shut it down and make sure he's completely ready to go come next season?
This whole charade with Corey, it's a part of the job that I hate. And I actually asked him about it again today, and I try to, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It hasn't made sense for a month. I mean, they have 12 games left. It's going to take them a week to 10 days to even, he hasn't been on the ice since February 12th. So I think it's a pretty absurd to even imagine that he would come back this season. And if he did, it's hard to imagine why. You know, he's a $6 million a year all-star goalie who, if he's not healthy next year, then they're really screwed, you know. So I think, why risk it? I mean, I don't understand the point of even thinking along those lines. But, if I had a guess, I would say there's no way he's coming back. They just, for some odd reason, don't want to admit that.
Paul Skrbina is our guest on NHL This Week. Paul covers the Chicago Blackhawks for the Chicago Tribune. The Blackhawks obviously in town tomorrow night to play the Winnipeg Jets at Bell MTS Place. Paul, you know, the Blackhawks had a home-and-home with the Bruins, and they split the two games, which is obviously nice for the Blackhawks team to get that victory against the Bruins. But I want to take you back to Saturday, the collision between Brad Marchand and Anthony Duclair. Sort of an awkward play. Marchand goes up high. Claims to be trying to avoid Duclair. Duclair is going to be out of the lineup now for a week or two with a right leg injury. What were your thoughts on it? Was it an innocent play gone bad? Was it Marchand doing Brad Marchand things again?
You know, I hate to go, you know, politically correct on him, but I really think that Marchand's pass has a lot to do with the perception of that play. And I watched the replay, and I think my opinion is, he jumped to try to avoid the collision. Now, why he clotheslined him at the end, I don't have any idea. Make of that what you will. He grabbed his helmet on his way down and kind of yanked Duclair down to the ice, causing him the awkward to land on his lower body injury. I certainly looked like there was intent on the second part of that play. And again, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt given his history. So, just one guy's opinion, but it sure didn't look clean to me.
Paul, why haven't things worked out for Brandon Saad this year in Chicago?
You know, it's an interesting question that I've tried to figure out all year. I've asked all kinds of people, and you know, normally you could chalk it up to maybe he's not healthier. He's getting the same, you know, he's getting his shots, he's getting his chances. Part of it, I think, is just bad luck. He's still a great defensive forward. He still does a lot of really good things for them. But I think when you look at the whole of what they gave up to get him, they certainly didn't get back what they had given up in the first place when they traded him to Columbus. And, you know, another factor that goes into that, too, is that, Patrick Kane had his best two seasons offensively playing next to Panarin, and now Panarin's gone and Saad's not performing, which I think magnifies Saad's subpar season even more. I think, you know, if he can bounce back next year and be closer to the Brandon Saad that they expected, then it's going to be almost like being a free agent for them, because he certainly has been absent for most of the season offensively, and that's certainly been a factor in why the Hawks are where they are right now.
You know, Paul, you mentioned next year, and Brandon Saad has three more years left on his contract at $6 million per. In your opinion, does he still factor in long-term? I mean, whether long-term is, you know, 2 or 3 years, does he still factor in, you know, to, let's call it, the, you know, midterm plans of the Blackhawks?
Oh, I think there's no choice there because they're not going to be able to get rid of that contract, and or at least not all of it. And I, like I said, I think, you know, he's what, 25 years old? I think he certainly can bounce back from, you know, from this. Other guys have bounced back from worse. I just think a lot of his struggles have just been, you know, I mean, let's face it, I mean, hockey is about luck sometimes, especially with scoring goals, and he hasn't gotten the bounce. Now, that certainly doesn't make up for the, you know, for the fact that he's had a bad season, but it does have something to do with it. So I think, yeah, I mean, he's not going to go anywhere.
Paul, you mentioned Artturi Panarin. I'm curious, just from your perspective, who do the Blackhawks miss more, the forward or defenseman Nicholas Chalmerson?
You know, it's hard to say because Chalmerson's been hurt this year. I certainly think from an offensive standpoint, they miss Panarin a lot. I don't know. Chalmerson, every time I watch that guy, it seemed like he was getting hit or diving in front of a puck. It's like, how many lives does this cat have, you know? So he certainly was instrumental in winning all those cups. I don't know if he is on the upswing like Panarin, if he has as high of a ceiling as Panarin. So I would, you know, given all the Hawks' defensive struggles, I don't know if Jarmerson fixes all that. It's hard to say, but I certainly think that Patrick Kane misses Panarin. Mm-hmm. and you know, and that can have a ripple effect on the rest of the team too, depending on, you know, because, you know, everybody who plays with Kane is better usually, but he found a player who made him better, and that's, you know, I know that he hasn't come out and said it, but, you know, I know he does miss playing with him. That's not an indictment on anybody else either. It's just, you know, it's hard to ignore the fact that your best player had his best season is playing next to this guy, and now he's gone.
Paul, we know Anton Forsberg is going to start in net for the Hawks tomorrow night against the Jets. And when you consider that, you know, Forsberg has had some good games and he's had some bad games, and then JF Berube has got some time in net as well, do you think either of these two goalies have done enough to earn that backup role next year, or do you think that's still up in the air?
I think that spills into next season, really, given the highs and lows that both of them have had. And by the way, Forsberg has a really cool he has his dog painted on his helmet, which I'm fascinated with. It's a really cool thing. But
what kind of dog?
I think, you know, he told me what kind it was, and I can't remember. It's some kind of a purebred that I've never heard of. But it's a good looking dog. Huh? But
hopefully, yeah, he's not flying United.
Forsberg, I think, is a little more proven, and I know they have they have a goalie in the AHL that is young yet. I think he's probably still a year away, but you know. I think Forsberg has proven enough, but it's so hard to tell. I mean, because it'll spill in the training camp for sure.
Paul, we'll let you go on this last question. We appreciate your time this evening. Paul Skrbina of the Chicago Tribune joining us on the program. You know, obviously, disappointing year for the Blackhawks. Where is the improvement coming from that gets this team to back to being a playoff team or a legitimate playoff contender next season? Is it just guys that bounce back from down years? Brandon Saad maybe, you know, isn't this horrible next season? You know, where is the improvement for next year coming from?
I have two words for you, Corey Crawford.
Okay, that's what I figured.
That's going to be a lot of it's going to depend on him. And of course, like you said, I think they need to have. You know, Keith and Saad can't play as poorly as they've played. Jonathan Toews has played better of late, but he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, he's not had a very good season, which I think has a lot to do with a lot of other factors in terms of line mates and stuff like that. But I do think that, you know, all of it's going to hinge on, or a lot of it will hinge on whether or not Crawford is healthy, because he sure covers up a lot of mistakes for that team, and they need to go out and get a top four defensemen. I mean, whether it's a free agent or if they somehow got the number one pick in the draft.
that would help.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, a majority of it's going to be on Crawford's shoulders.
Paul Skrbina covers the Chicago Blackhawks for the Chicago Tribune. Paul, appreciate your time this evening. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Paul. When we come back, we discuss Alex Ovechkin. He got goal number 600 this week, as we all well know.
The Rocket Man.
Where does he... I thought that was Kim Jong-un.
Well, the Rocket Richard Man.
I know, but, you know, that's what, isn't that what Trump called him?
Little Rocket Man.
Little Rocket Man. Sorry, it's hard to keep track.
Elton John's the Rocket Man, too.
Well, he sings about Rocket Man. Yep. I remember, we're in, you know, so does William Shatner, if you want to go with the Family Guy edition. Anyways, we're really off track there. Alex Ovechkin, we'll talk about him up next. You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN Radio, 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Coming in front, loose in front of Hellebuck, who lost his goal stick. Wilson with a chance. Rebound, they score! And there it is! On the rebound, Alex Ovechkin, the 20th player in National Hockey League history to score 600 goals in his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career.
The call from Monday night, Alex Ovechkin getting two goals against the Jets. I'm stunned he didn't get the hat trick to win it in overtime when the Caps had that power play. But he gets his two goals. He gets his 600th career goal, joining the elite of the elite in the NHL as the one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. Question I have for you guys, and we're going to hear from Mike Johnson later on in this segment, because Mike Johnson on TSN had some interesting comments about, you know, the era in which Alex Ovechkin has put up 600 goals. He said, you know, in this era, you know, that it's so much more difficult to score that his numbers and his accomplishments are even more impressive than 891 from Gretzky. Your thoughts on
894.
Pardon me, 894 from Gretzky. Yes, I
don't shortchange the great one.
I shortchanged my hat trick there. My apologies. you know, how do you respond to that? How do you come into that? Where do you land on that concept that what Ovechkin is doing in this era with goaltenders the size of houses and the dead puck era, making his accomplishment more impressive than some of the bigger numbers that are out there?
It's a valid argument. But Wayne Gretzky is the greatest goal scorer of all time. I mean, I'm not going to listen to any other argument. I mean, he's got 894 goals, and although I think that Ovechkin will come close, I don't think he's going to break Gretzky's record. If I had to put money down on Ovechkin's career goal totals by the time his career is over, I think he's going to be right around 800. Because I think he's probably got 6 or 7 really productive years left. Mm-hmm. He's 32. Mm-hmm. You know, he might play till 40, but I think it's safe to say that he's definitely going to...
Well, producer Rory did some quick math when we were on break, and he said that if he plays for another 7 years, which is a long time. I don't know that Alex Ovechkin wants to play for another 7 years. But if he plays for another 7 years, he has to average a goal every two games. And that's assuming he doesn't get injured or there's anything else that causes him to miss time. I mean, that's a pretty impressive... it's a pretty steep hill to have to climb, especially as you get older and longer in the tooth and having played so many hockey games prior to that.
And at the very least, guys, I think even at this stage in his career, 32 years old, I would feel confident in saying Ovechkin is a top 5 goal scorer ever. Because I think after Wayne Gretzky, I mean, for me, I mean, Brett Hull has to be in the conversation. Mario Lemieux has to be in the conversation. So for me, you could probably put Ovechkin as high as maybe 4th or 5th best of all time. But by the time his career is over, I mean, let's be honest, Sean, he's going to hit 700 easily.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to hit 750 probably easily as well. And he has a really good chance at getting to 800, but I don't know if he's going to be able to get up to 894.
No, If that takes place, what an unbelievable accomplishment that would be, just from a sheer numbers perspective, and, you know, keeping the production rate the same as he gets older. A lot of what Ovi bases his shot in is that power and that drive, and guys needing to respect his power, and, you know, they back off a little bit and they give him that little bit of space that he needs. But I mean, you just look at this guy and the way he's been able to stay healthy and the durability. And if this continues, and let's say he can play another 6-7 years, who knows?
You know what I don't think gets mentioned enough, Drew?
Okay.
Is that Ovechkin gets drafted first overall in 2004, and there's a lockout.
Sure.
So he plays his first NHL-eligible year in Russia.
Yes.
So he would actually have more goals if he would have played that first year, keeping in mind his rookie year in 2005, he scored 52, right?
You're right. You'd add another... So you add another...
You'd add probably another 40 goals.
Plus you add
50
another,
goals, maybe.
You probably add another 40 goals for the lost season. And then you probably add another... let's say 20, 25 goals for the lockout shortened
season. Now he's closer to 894.
Well, now he's up to 670 goals, 665 goals as he sits here at the age of 32. Then you're talking, you know, you're 230, 240 goals away. I think it's a lot more. Then you maybe only need to play another 5-6 years, you know, based on the numbers he's putting up. I have time for Mike Johnson's argument that his 600 is more impressive than a lot of the other guys who are ahead of him on the goal scoring list. I don't know if he's ahead of Gretzky. I mean, 894 is such a big number, but I think he's ahead of Brett Hull. You just look at the era. Brett Hull had a 92-goal season.
By the time Ovechkin's career is over, he could be number two.
Right now, though. Right now, today, with Ovechkin at 600 goals and a guy like Brett Hull at 741 career goals.
I'd still put Mario above Ovechkin. But, I mean, Ovechkin's getting there, guys. 600 goals and he's 32 years old. And Sean makes a really good point. I mean, once players start getting into their early 30s, mid-30s, you kind of see the drop-off. Mm-hmm. Ovechkin's not dropping off. I mean, he's on pace for what? You know, 51, 52 goals this year?
Somewhere in that vicinity. Him and Laine battling for the Rocket Richard
Trophy.
That's
incredible.
Of course it's incredible. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, but I think the fact he's doing it in this era is what even adds another layer of impressiveness on top of it. I want to play what Mike Johnson had to say. This is from That's Hockey earlier in the week. It was Mike Johnson and Gino Retta, and Pierre LeBrun is also there as well. Here's what Mike Johnson had to say about Alex Ovechkin and his goal-scoring prowess.
And all the numbers, you put it all together. In conclusion, Gretzky, Ovi, the better pure goal scorer.
It's so hard for me to ever say anyone but Wayne Gretzky. He's the guy I grew up with, the guy I idolized, the guy
Good
I always
answer.
Thought was the pinnacle of everything offensive in hockey. But I'm also a numbers guy, as you just mentioned, and I like the numbers. And if you do an error adjustment, which is not exactly apples and apples, well, you start thinking about how much harder it has been for Alex Ovechkin to score against these kind of defenders and these kind of goaltenders than Wayne Gretzky. I begrudgingly, without much confidence, say that I think Alex Ovechkin is the greatest pure goal scorer ever because he's done it against players and teams that are so much better defensively than any other of the great goal scorers in history.
You know, I think, you know, you look at the adjustment, you factor in the period, you factor in the reality, you factor in better defense, better goaltending. Granted, you also factor in the fact that I think the equipment that Alex Ovechkin is using is a lot better than what they previously used. So that's, you know, to his advantage. I have time for the argument of Mike Johnson. Mm-hmm. There's no right or
absolutely.
Wrong answer, but it's a really interesting bar discussion, I think.
Oh, absolutely. When Gretzky was scoring, you know, 92 goals a year, 70 goals a year, I mean, you averaged, what was it, 7 goals a game back in the mid to late 80s?
Yeah.
I mean, now you're averaging, what, 5.6, 5.7 goals a game? I mean, it's an extra goal and a half less per game, right? So, I mean, Mike Johnson makes a good point. I mean, there's no doubt that Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of his era. I mean, I don't think that's in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right up there already with Gretzky, Lemieux, Brett Hull, whoever you want to put in there. I'd throw Teemu Selänne in there as well. He's got to be top 10 of all time as well. But, I mean, Ovechkin, we talked about it. I mean, he has a really good chance at hitting 800, and after that, who knows?
Yeah, you factor in you compare his 800 to Gretzky's 894. Granted, with Gretzky, though, if you're going to talk about missed opportunities, it doesn't include Gretzky's WHA numbers or anything along those lines as well. So you could probably even add more to the great ones, impressive numbers. It's just a really interesting barroom discussion to have.
And Gretzky's still the greatest player of all time. I mean,
oh, yeah. I'm not going to say
He still has more assists than anyone else has points.
Exactly.
Let's not forget the fact that that's the craziest record in any sport.
Yeah, look, Gretzky is the greatest of all time. There's no question about that. His numbers are never going to be touched. They're never going to even be anyone get anywhere near them. But the goal scoring, mm-hmm. specifically looking at the goal scoring, I think it does allow for some interesting discussion on which side you're going to land on.
How many goals is number 29 going to have by the time his career is over?
Well, I mean, we know what he's doing you know, as a teenager.
And he's already got 77
passing Gretzky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so he, you know that he, you know, there's no reason to think he's not going to hit that magic. And obviously, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but there's no reason to believe that he's not going to easily reach that magic 600 total. you know, which pretty much guarantees you a Hall of Fame status.
He'll have 300 goals by the time he's 25.
Well, at this rate, there's no reason to think otherwise, especially as he continues to develop and advance his game. And I mean, he's. well, we know what Patrick Laine is, and the Jets fans are fortunate that they're able to watch him and watch what he can do on a night-in, night-out basis.
He'll probably have more than 300 by the time he's 25,
I was
actually.
Thinking, yeah, he'll probably 350. More, yeah.
Yeah, 300 is if he slumps a little bit. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go to break? We're going to bring in Mike Commodore next segment, talk about a little bit what's going on in the NHL.
Maybe on the phone, though. He's not coming in studio.
Not in studio. Not in town, but on the phone we'll bring him in. We'll bring him in remotely. Maybe we'll bring him in figuratively.
Yeah, Commie's in Kansas City right now.
Oh, that's sort of a random place to be. Did he drive an Uber?
not sure. We'll ask him.
It's a long trip.
Yeah, it was a long trip. You know, flex rates or whatever they call it in Uber. Anyways, that's coming up next. You're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Top of the hour, you're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Sean Asor, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Reminder, Manitoba Moose Hockey coming up in about 15 minutes here on the station. Puck drop for the Moose coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Mike Commodore. He's the man who puts the two R's in Hockey Insider. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, Mike. Obviously brought you on to take a quick lap around the league as we sit here with about less than a month to go until the start of the playoffs. You know, for the teams who are cut and dry, and you know, a couple of the teams have pretty much locked up their positions in these standings, and they know they're either going to be first or second in their divisions, and there's not much to play for at this point in time in the season. How difficult is this time period? They're desperate to get to the playoffs. They want to start the playoffs, but they have to sort of slog through these last 12, 13 games.
Yeah. Mentally, it's definitely, it can be a little bit of a challenge because you don't want to just mail it in because you have to be careful. You have to play hard. The moment you kind of like not play hard or take it a little bit easy, that's the time when you get hurt. So you need to keep, I think the focus is to just keep how you're playing. You've been playing all year. Try and keep it rolling. Team-wise, well, a lot goes on the coaching staff, too. I mean, a lot of that's going to fall on the coaching staff. Be like, hey, let's keep it going. You don't fret over little things, but make sure you're working hard and showing up with the right intentions.
Mike, before we had you on, we were talking about Alex Ovechkin, who recently scored his 600th career NHL goal. And, you know, we were talking about where he ranks amongst the greatest NHL goal scorers of all time. And you played in the league when Alex Ovechkin was you know, in his prime. Where does he rank for you among the all-time greatest goal scorers?
You know, for me with him, when he first came into the league, it was his rookie year. I mean, I played against him all the time because I was in Carolina. He was Washington, obviously, and we played each other 12 times a year for however many years that was. And at first, I was very impressed. I was like, you know what, this guy, what a lot of people I don't think realize is he's almost 240 pounds. And he can fly. So he would, like, I was a bigger guy. I would be 6'4", 230, but I couldn't skate. He was a little bit shorter than me, heavier, just as heavier, and he could move. I was impressed with just his individual talent. And then I went through a little bit of a lull where I was like, you know what, I don't know. This was kind of after I was gone and seen him more, and he's still scoring a lot of goals. And I was like, you know what, yes, he can score. We got that. And you sit on the power play and he sits in his spot and he scores and there's something to be said for that. That's great. But you score 50 goals a year, but you're minus 40. That doesn't mean a lot to me. That means you're cheating a lot and you're scoring a lot of goals in the power play. If you want to be a good team, if you want to win, you need to be, and you're the best player, you need to be responsible on both ends of the ice. And then the last couple of years, he's come back a little bit. I think he's improved defensively. So I'm back on the program where I like him. As far as all-time goal scorers, I mean, he's got to be up there for sure. I mean, I saw the list there. I don't know what number he is, but he's had an impressive career. But I can't say that I've been a huge fan the whole time.
Mike, we were talking about a 32-year-old sniper now. Maybe shift gears and maybe go to a 19-year-old here in Winnipeg, Patrick Laine. What have you seen from the young Finn as of late that has just been able to catch your eye? Because what he's been doing here has just been unbelievable.
It is. He's had a great year. I think he was a little... First off, I really like him as a hockey player. He's great. He can shoot the puck. I love his interviews. He's honest. He's to the point. I love that. I don't love his beard or whatever he's doing. I mean, he looks terrible. I mean, I guess he can't mess with him because he's lighting it up. but he looks awful. But no, he's been great. I mean, no sophomore slump for him, which is great as far as, you know, and especially with kind of, you know, and him, like the team, like the Jets, got off to a little bit of a slower start in the year, but battled through it, and now Winnipeg looks unbelievable, and he's fun to watch for sure. I mean, he can shoot the puck.
Mike Commodore, our guest here on NHL This Week. Mike, trade deadline came and went. It was a few weeks ago at this point in time. You were, of course, were busy breaking the trades on your Twitter feed, at Commie22. What trades did you like at the deadline that jumped out to you as teams that really improved themselves?
Oh, God. I was just in Vegas last week, so that kind of killed my memory. But I'm trying to think of which ones that I enjoyed. I mean, there's some that I didn't really enjoy.
Well, do those ones. Those are better. Those are fun also.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed Ottawa didn't move Carlson, to be honest. I thought that was going to happen. Probably, actually, you want to know the one I was most disappointed with was the Brassard deal. It was right away on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I had an inside, I legitimately, like, not lying, I had an inside line on this. It doesn't get any more inside than this unless you're actually on the trade call, which I was not. And I asked a question, and my response was, without giving away my sources, I mean, you could probably guess who it was, but where are you going? And the response was Pittsburgh or Winnipeg. I came back with, well, pick one. Which one's it going to be? He says, it's going to be Winnipeg. So I break the trade.
Yeah.
And then 15 minutes later, he's in Pittsburgh. And then I find out what happened is that Vegas ended up taking, 40% of his salary or 60%? I think it was, like, withheld. Or Vegas is paying. He got traded to Vegas.
Vegas.
Flipped to Pittsburgh or whatever.
Yeah.
Just to keep him away from the Jets. That was my most disappointing one. I would have liked to see him in Winnipeg because I'm cheering for the Jets. And I didn't like being made to look a fool on Twitter.
They're really, I mean, they're selfish and not thinking about your interests and your needs in this instance.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I guess it's only two. You know, I'm not getting any respect yet, but I'm going to keep coming. Sooner or later, I'm going
to
get it.
Maybe
I hope.
If you add another R to insider, that might be maybe three R's is what puts you over the top.
That might be what I got to change something up next year. Three R's next year, because next year I need to get three trades right. This year I went one, then two. Next year's got to be three.
That's an admirable goal.
Drew, just make sure that you get in one after the show, okay? Or Commie's not going to be happy with you. Mike, we're about 4 weeks away from the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I realize, you know, we have a lot of regular season hockey to be played here, but in your opinion, who is the Stanley Cup favorite?
Oh, God. I've had a couple people ask me that question. I never know what to say. I mean, you put a gun to my head, and I guess if I had to pick, it's tough to pick against Tampa. I don't have much confidence in that. I mean, it's so hard to pick. I mean, Nashville's excellent. I like Vegas, but it's just, this has been a Cinderella year, and I think it's awesome. I do think it's great. I don't think they're going to be pushovers, but the one thing I do think Vegas is missing is they don't really have, other than Fleury, they don't really have the guys that have been driving the boat all year there and having great years. None of them, I don't think, have really played, off the top of my head, have really played in the playoffs. So, you know, let's say, you know, they're hosting a couple, they're going to host the first round, and somebody comes in there and wins the first two games. What are they going to do? How are they going to react? I don't know. I mean, who knows? I like you guys. I do.
We're banged up.
I like Winnipeg. I don't know. I don't know. It's so tough to pick. I know. I didn't answer the question. I mean, you know what?
Did you hedge your bets when you were in Vegas too?
What's that?
Did you hedge your bets when you were in Vegas too?
Oh, I made some money on basketball in Vegas, fellas, and I lost on hockey. So, yeah, my bets on hockey were terrible, and the ones on basketball I actually won.
NCAA or NBA?
Actually, NCAA and one big NBA.
Huh?
I went with the Raptors against the Rockets.
Oh.
The Rockets were on that big streak, yeah. Nobody down here gives the Toronto Raptors any respect. I think it's like a bunch of, I don't know who they think's playing up there, but I think it's just maybe a bunch of Canadians that don't know what they're doing, and maybe the standings are wrong. They have no idea what's going on up there. And that one was big for me.
So, Mike, who do you got in March Madness coming up here?
Good question. I filled out two brackets. The first, well, I got to, and I have to fill out one more. I'm actually at a March Madness. I should tell you a little bit where I'm at. I'm actually an hour south of Kansas City on the Missouri side right now at the most, maybe the most unbelievable property I've ever been at. A buddy of mine, has this great, it sleeps like 70 here. It's an awesome, yeah, it's crazy.
We're
like,
coming.
It's, yeah. It is crazy.
Mike, are you at Dan Bilzerian's house?
No, I am not. I am definitely not, but no, it's a great spot, but we have a bunch of guys coming in here for the March Madness. KU is obviously the big pick around here. I don't know. In my two brackets, I picked KU in one of them because I've been down here to Lawrence a couple times before with my buddy here, Mike Gillig, and so I've kind of become a fan. I like defense, so I did pick Virginia in one, and I don't know. I don't know about the third one. I don't know if I'm going to mix it up. I don't know. Who do you guys like?
Well, I got my wife's from Kentucky, so I'm all Wildcats all the time.
Villanova all the way, Mike.
Mike, we got to let you
Villanova
run, though, bud.
All the way. All right.
I appreciate it. We'll do it again real soon, okay, buddy?
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, that sounds good.
All righty, thanks. There's Mike Commodore. He joins us from Kansas City, where he's getting ready for March Madness. That's it for this week, NHL This Week, a quick version.
Yeah.
Manitoba Moose Hockey with Mitch Peacock coming up next on the station. Big thanks to producer Rory, doing a great job. Big thanks to Sean Asor and Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.